My trust is in you. Lily of the valley, my trust is in you. I put it on you, my trust is in you. I put it on you, my trust is in you. Lion of Judah,
my trust is in you.
Ancient of Days,
my trust. Trust is in you.
I put it on.
I put it on you. My trust is in you.
Yes, Lord, in you.
I put it on you. My trust is in you.
I put it all in you.
I put it on you. My trust is in you.
Oh, Master of the universe.
My trust is in you.
Yes, you're my miracle working God.
My trust is in you. Trust is in you.
I put it all in you.
I put it all in you. My trust is in you.
No matter what I see,
I put it all in you. My trust is in you.
No matter what I feel,
I put it all in you. My trust is in you.
I stand upon your word,
I put it all in you. My trust is in you.
Hey,
I put it all in you. My trust is in you. My trust is in you.
I put it all in you.
I put it all in you. My trust is in you.
Two more times we sing. I put it all.
I put it all in you. My trust is in you.
One more time we sing.
I put it all in you. My trust is in you.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Trust in you.
All the-
together. Jehovah, you.
Jehovah, you.
I trust.
I trust.
Some indeed.
Hallelujah.
your mercy never fails me, and all my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, that you are so good and your goodness is revealed unto us. Today, we embrace the integrity of your word, the integrity of your person. And Lord, oh God, we say, possess us completely. Possess our lives, spirit, soul, and body. Let everything about us, oh God, testify of your goodness. Thank you, Father, for your peace. Thank you, Father, for victory. Thank you, Lord, for a transformed life. Thank you, Lord, for a new day, for the grace to rejoice, for the grace to enjoy the benefits that you have ordained for us this day. We receive everything and we walk testifying of your goodness, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you so very much for being here in the house of the Lord tonight. I thank God for the word that he gave to us this morning about the peace of God. If you were not able to tap into that word, I encourage you to go online and hear the word of the Lord so that that peace of God takes reign and rule over our lives. Amen? Don't assume that you know what we're talking about. I was speaking somewhere last night for one of my spiritual sons, and he came back up and he said, this message, you need to listen to it over and over and over and over again. I think the message this morning is one, simple as it might be, is one that you need to listen to over and over and over and over again, because it is fundamental to your spiritual well-being. Amen? Now let's get on to what the Lord has for us for tonight. As I sought the face of the Father to hear what he will say to us tonight, he kept on hopping on this particular passage of Scripture. And many times I will keep on asking, because sometimes he's hopping about the particular Scripture, but really where he wants to go is somewhere else, and that particular Scripture is very important. And so I'll keep on asking until I get full directive to know exactly what he's trying to reach out to. But it hasn't changed. So I do believe that this is a word that he really wants me to hear and wants you to hear tonight. It's found in the Epistle to the Colossians, the third chapter and the first verse. Most of what we call the gospel of grace is generally accounted to Paul. Paul is the one that most preachers of the gospel of grace point to. And I think the gospel of grace that they present to us as God's people is laden with error, but it's also a very true gospel. I think sometimes that what we call grace or interpret as grace is the mercy of God. Grace is an empowerment that comes from God so that we can live right. Grace is not an empowerment to live defeated, ungodly lives. Grace is not a license to sin. And even when those who preach this word about the gospel of grace talk about it, they always go on and say, it is not a license for sin, but as you listen to them, just a few sentences later, you start hearing license for sin. But the Word of God says something totally different. Here in Colossians, the third chapter, I humbly read this word. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, if you're risen in Christ, you rose with him, then this is your MO. This is your method of operation from now on. Seek those things which are above. If you reason with him, seek the things which are above. Now that makes sense. If you are risen with Christ and you're seated in heavenly places, then you're in heavenly places. Then if heavenly places is so plush and so blessed, what are you looking for in the earth? That makes sense? Yes. It says, seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. He's sitting at the right hand of God. He said, seek those things. Now, if the Word of God says to us that we rose, we died and we rose again and we are seated in Christ Jesus, then it's saying to us that we also are seated at the right hand of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm seated at the right hand of God. That's a powerful word. That's a powerful word. I'm seated at the right hand of God. I'm seated at the right hand of God. I'm in heavenly places. Ephesians says, far above. We are far above principalities. We are far above powers. We're far above the rulers of the darkness of this world. Far above all spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. We're far above. And the reason we're able to sit with him and the reason we are able to rise with Christ is because we were crucified with him. We died with him. I died when Jesus died. I got buried when Jesus got buried. I rose from dead, from the dead when he rose again from the dead. I ascended when he ascended, and I'm seated when he sat down. You see, God, in the language of faith, embraced, took me in, assimilated me in everything that he was doing for me, so that the devil doesn't have any grounds of accusation. You say, oh, what do you mean? Well, the devil can't say, I've not paid for my sins. Because I did. When I died with him. The devil cannot say, I'm going to hell. Because I did already go to hell when Jesus went to hell. Everything Jesus did, I did in him. Oh, Father, I give you praise. All of it. That is what grace is. I connected with the great I am. And now, he who took care of my past, my present, and my future says, in me, your past, your present, and your future has been taken care of. Hallelujah. You're forgiven. Thank you, Jesus. You're redeemed. You're now more than a conqueror. You were conquered by the enemy, but now you have conquered the enemy that conquered you, because I conquered that enemy that conquered you. Now you are the victor in me. Hallelujah. He says, because you are risen and you're seated with him in heavenly places, from now on, set your affection. Your love language should be on the things that are above, not on things on the earth. Don't concern yourself about the things on the earth. Concern yourself about the things in the heavens, because everything, look in here, everything that you need is in heaven. Yes. Amen. And everything that you need in heaven is dispatchable to you, to your natural body and person in the earth. The Lord Jesus Christ made a very striking statement. He said, hitherto you've asked me nothing. Was that statement a statement about what that they did not ask for food, and they did not ask for water, they did not ask for clothes, they did not ask for, my wife is sick, what can you do? No. He was simply addressing and saying, listen, there are certain things that you don't need to be asking about. There are certain prayers that you're not called to pray, because it's an insult for you to pray about those things. He says, exactly why are you worrying about stuff? Your Father already knows what you have need of and has made provision for it. That's what Jesus said. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the things of the kingdom. It says it is the heathen, it is the heathen that is busy praying, oh, where shall I do? How am I going to get a house to sleep in? What food am I going to eat? And what am I going to drink? What kind of clothes am I going to wear? What kind of a car am I going to drive? It says that's what the heathen pray about. That's not what your prayer point is. That's not your prayer point. I already know what you need. What you need to do is die to those things that are natural. It says, God already knows what you need and has already made provision for it. That's what Matthew 6 is all about. It says the heathen, the ungodly, people that don't know God, the pagans that are praying those kind of nonsense prayers. That's not your prayer. So I tell you what you need to do. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and every other thing shall be what? Added unto you. Amen. So my prayer point is, Lord, I need more money. That's not my prayer point. And I think many times God doesn't answer those prayers. If you receive an answer, it's just an act of God's mercy and say, just give him something. Just give. No, really. One of these days you're going to grow up. You just get out of here. But when I'm seeking the things, the heartbeat of God, the word of God says, he that winneth souls is what? Wise. Because that's where provision comes from. He makes you his ambassador. He gives you the ministry of reconciliation. And as his ambassador, he is making provision of the kingdom of God for his representative, his ambassador. He defeated the hordes of hell, and he says, I give you my name. Wow. So we pray in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is not abracadabra or whatever it is. No, no. The name of Jesus is, as a representative of the kingdom of God, I say. That's what the name of Jesus is. I'm a representative of the kingdom of God. I represent Jesus, the King and the Lord of that kingdom. And I'm enforcing his will here in the earth as it is in heaven. The disciples asked the Lord Jesus Christ to pray how they should pray. And he taught them the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer was basically an outline of what to pray and how to pray. And in that prayer, I know there's one verse there, one line there, that sounds like he's asking you to ask for natural things, but has nothing to do with natural things. Because it goes like this, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. That's the way we miss it. And we think, give us this day our daily bread is, oh God, give me some hamburger to eat. I need some fish fillet. I need some filet mignon. No. The daily bread was, the word of God says, the word of God is bread. My bread, he says, is to do the will of my Father and to finish it. So when he talks about daily bread, and I've taught you that particular word before, it is about the assignment for the day. What he's assigned you to do for the day. Lord, I finished this day. I give you a testimony, a report back that this was what was done today. Now, what do you want me to do tomorrow? When you go to work, there's a good chance your supervisor, your manager may tell you the things that you need to do. And that's your daily assignment. Now, God is calling us to do the same. Everything that God has called you and I to do has to do more in the realm of the spirit than in the natural. Every natural act is based and founded in the integrity of that which is first heavenly. So we need to be heavenly minded. He says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Why? For you are dead. You are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Your life is hid in Christ. It is hid with Christ in God. So my real life is in God, in Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father. I'm certain I must have told you this story about a dream I had many years ago. There were two dreams that went back to back. And this thing was the first one. I saw myself, and there was this albino python just circling around me, just moving around, this big thing, and I'm there. But then I saw myself in the heavens. And from there, I shoot from this light, came and blew everything up. And I screamed, "I think I've killed myself," I said. But that's not what happened. The thing, because the light went right through me and hit the serpent. Hallelujah. And it blew up. So I thought I shot myself. You know, I made a mistake. I shot myself. I thought, from the whole place is all. Oh my, I think I just killed myself. But no, I was there. I was standing. Now the python is all gone. I said, "What happened?" He said, "You are a light being. And when you shot, light did not destroy light. You were the same as that weapon that you shot." Hallelujah. Then the dream switched right away. And I saw myself dressed in this armor of bright, I don't remember whether it's gold or silver now, but if I go back to my notes, I'll see it. This is like close to 30 years ago. And here's the devil. He's dressed in this nice black outfit, just shiny black. And we're busy fencing. And I hear the Lord says, "What are you doing?" I said, I'm fighting the devil. He says, you keep at that, you can wear yourself out. I said, "What am I supposed to do?" He says, "Use my word and cut him up. Stop fencing." So I did a maneuver and boom, I lop off his head. His head falls to the ground. What the strangest thing. He grabbed his head and he kept on talking. "I'm going to come back," I said. "I'm going to come back and fight again." I said, "Come, I'll kill you again." I woke up from that dream. I said, "Oh, wow, this is better than Hollywood. What is this?" Well, my life is hid in God with Christ. I am not accessible. For the devil to get to my life, he has to. And the Word of God says, God, Jesus, is in the Father. The Word of God says, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. So this is the deal. For the devil to get to me, who is in Christ, and Christ who is in the Father, and sealed by the Holy Spirit, the devil has to unzip the zipper, has to fight through the Father, then come through to Jesus to find me. You think that's going to happen today, tomorrow, or ever? No, the place I need to be is in Christ Jesus. And the word of God says, if I'm in Christ Jesus, the only way I can keep on staying there is when my affection is in the things that he is interested in. He says, when Christ, who is our life, oh, wait. My life is in Christ. Now he says, when Christ, who is our life. So my life is now the life of Christ. My life is the life of the Anointed One. My life is the life of the Savior. My life is the life of the Redeemer. My life is the life of the Deliverer. He says, when he shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. When he shows up, you appear with him in glory. Now, begins to tell us what we need to do. He says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. So you're seated in heavenly places, but your members, your physical body is in the earth. He says, mortify your members which are upon the earth. Mortify means to kill. Kill those affections that are earthly. What are these? He says, kill fornication, kill uncleanness, kill inordinate affection, kill evil concupiscence, kill covetousness, which is idolatry. He says, because for these things, those things listed, the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. So in essence, you are up in heavenly places, but if that is your pursuit, you are a child of what? Disobedience. And wrath is released upon your life. So where do these guys come up with this teaching about grace and all of those things that are listed? They take us as okay. God is okay with it. When God says in his word, that's the actions of children of disobedience. Somebody is lying. But let me tell you something. Are you ready for this? I hope you are. God is not going to blame them for misleading you. God is going to look at you for allowing somebody to mislead you in their wicked ways because you did not make friendship with God and you did not study his word and you did not embrace the truth. You know, the incredible thing about it is that the people are teaching all this evil stuff and people are sitting there in the pews and they're praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! It says, in the which ye also walked sometime, when you lived in them. You don't live in that anymore. You live in Christ. You used to be that. How is it that you are a Christian and there's no difference between you now as a Christian from the person that used to be a person who had not asked Jesus Christ into their personal life? How is it that your life has not changed? It has not changed because you did not die with Christ. Because if you did, then you will not continue in sin. Now it begins to list other things. It says, but now you also put off all these. There are more things I want you to take off from your life. Anger. That's my personality. No. That personality died. Now you have a new person. You have the life of Christ. Put away anger. Put away wrath. Put away malice. Put away blasphemy. Put away filthy communication out of your mouth. Get all of that. Lie not one to another. Stop lying to each other. Seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. The old man with his deeds. The old man with his deeds. You put that off. That's not you anymore. You're not a liar. All liars still end up in the lake of fire, the word of God says. That's not you. He says you've put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man. You put on the new man, watch this, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Oh, we were created in the image and the likeness of God. The old man died and failed, but now Jesus came, defeated the devil, and recreated us. We got recreated. He says, so now be renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Be renewed in the knowledge of the one who created you. What does the one who created you know? That's what you need to know. And that's what you're seeking. That's what you're seeking, to know what he knows about you. The word of God, John says, we shall know as we have been known. When we see him, we shall find out that we are just like him. Is that what the word of God says? We're not going to be like the world. We're going to be like the Christ, the anointed one. Hallelujah. He says, I've done that for you. He says, and in this place, where you are renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created you, he says, there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. In this new level, Christ is in all of us. Hallelujah. It has nothing to do with what country you were born in, whether you were born into a rich family or a poor family, born free or born a slave, it doesn't matter. Christ is in every one of us. And that Christ that is in every one of us, when we are renewed in the spirit of our minds concerning what God knows about us, causes us to walk in divine freedom. Hallelujah. One of the reasons the governments of this world hate the Christian faith more than anything else is that when you truly know Christ in the spirit of the truth of the Word of God, you cannot stay in bondage anymore. Your mind is freed up. And the devil says, if they know what they really are, we're going to be in trouble. Well, he's in trouble because we know that we are the manifestations of the sons of God. We are not going to become it. We are now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I will manifest the glory of God as a chosen son born of his spirit. So now it tells us, put on the new man. And then it goes on, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. These are all positive things. He didn't say nobody's going to hurt you. He says forbear one another. He didn't say people are not going to mess with you. He says forgiving one another. If somebody's quarreling against you, do the same thing. Just like Christ forgave you, so also do to others. Have a good, wholesome relationship. What is this nonsense? Christians are fighting each other. Won't talk to each other. What kind of Christianity is that? That's not a Christ-like life. And God is calling us, says, listen. Things may be rough because you are in this earth physically. So mortify the deeds and the actions of the flesh. And put on the God life. In fact, I think it's in Ephesians. It says, which is created in holiness. This new man in you is created perfect already. So God's word says, be ye perfect because I'm perfect. Be ye holy because I'm holy. Why? Because he's already done that for us. It's a gift that God has given to us. And today, I want you and I to be deeply encouraged in knowing that God is for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And then it says, and above all these things, put on charity, put on agape, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. You cannot walk in true holiness without having the work of love operational. And that brings us to a verse that we looked at this morning. And let the peace of God rule. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let the peace of God act as an umpire in your heart. This peace of God, let it fight for you. Let it do what you cannot do for yourself. Hallelujah. Let the peace of God be the arbitrator in your heart. To the which also ye are called in one body. You're called to unity. And be ye thankful. Be a person who is thankful. Because the peace of God is ruling in your heart. And verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it. What is the language of let? It is you making the decision to allow. In essence, if you don't allow it, it will not happen. So you have to allow it. You have to allow peace, the peace of God, to umpire in your heart. You've got to allow the word of Christ to dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Hallelujah. So this is what happens when we come together. That's why the word of God says we must not neglect the gathering together, the assembling together of the saints. Because as we come together, we are admonishing each other with the Word of God, with psalms, in our hymns and spiritual songs that we're singing, something is happening on the inside of us, empowering us to go on. Hallelujah. He says, and whatsoever you do in the word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Hallelujah. And he goes on and begins to tell us other things that we need to do as people who are seeking those things which are above. Oh, mortify the deeds of the flesh. Act this way positively. Now he goes on and he says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Not to every husband, not to every man. He says, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Have your mind at home. Submit means that you are surrendered in carrying the vision, which means the man has to have the vision of God. If you need a helpmate fit, then you must have something that you need help with. If you're a lazy bum, she will help you become even more of that. If you are a visionary and you're plugged into the things of God and you're seeing what the Father is saying to do, she's there to help you fulfill that vision. So submit yourselves unto your own husband as it is fit in the Lord, as it's fit. That means if it doesn't fit, watch this, if it doesn't fit the Lord, don't submit yourself to that. Hello? The man wants you to do something that is contrary to the will of God. You're not called to help him do that which is wrong. You're there to speak life and strength into him so that he lines up with what God says. Well, my husband doesn't want me to worship God, so I have to stay home. Okay. Keep it up and you find out. Before long, you're no longer in faith. Or you can say, just like the Hebrew boys did, you put a statue up, you want us to worship that statue? We're not doing that. We're going to throw you into the fire. Well, have your take at it. If he saves me, great. If he doesn't, I'm still going to worship the Lord my God. Yes, you're my husband. Yes, you're my wife. But before you, there is him. You don't become an idol in my life. Hallelujah. He says, husband, love your wives. Now, bear in mind that we started with verse 1. If you reason with Christ, then seek those things which are above. And he's listing all of this based on that. So my submission to my wife or to my husband is seeking those things which are above. My love in my wife is seeking those things which are above. It says, and be not bitter against them. Women and men don't think alike. You got to learn. The Bible says, learn your wife. Yeah, that's what the Word of God says. See, the men complain and say, well, I don't understand this woman. How can you understand a woman when you were sleeping when God made her? You were busy sleeping when you got made her. Now you're going to understand her. Hallelujah. You got to connect with what God sees. Stop making me laugh. Hallelujah. See, don't be bitter against them. You're wasting your time. That is not heavenly mindedness, being bitter against your wife. No. Love your wife. Love her. And don't be bitter against her. And then it says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. This is all about heavenly, being heavenly-minded, seeking those things which are above. Now, the kingdom of God is invading the earth reactions on the earth. Obey your parents in all things. There's an African adage that says, what fathers can see sitting down, children cannot see standing on their shoulders. Think you're smarter than your parents? Hold your peace. Children, obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger. I'm your father, and do whatever, blah, 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 and so on and so forth. And you're unreasonable? God says, don't do that. If you provoke your children to anger, they'll get discouraged. They'll lose their sense and passion for life and living. Says, don't provoke them to anger. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God or reverencing God. The Lord asked me a question a few days ago that was really, really interesting. He asked me, he said, what do you think I'm interested in, your talent or your service? What impresses me? Your talent or your service? I'm a good singer, I'm a good guitarist, I'm a good drummer, I'm a good preacher, I'm a good whatever. So what impresses me? Your giftings or your service? What do I lay importance on? And I said, the gifts that I have and the gifts that anybody has, you gave to us. But our service is an act of our will. I think you'll be more impressed in my service than in my talent. And he said, for the first time, you're right. Because I always get, when they ask me questions, I blow it every time. He said, for the first time, you're right. And it lined up. Success in God is my obedience. He says that's the one thing that he doesn't have. Everything else he has, there's one thing he does not have, which he has surrendered to me, my will to serve. When you have that presence of heart, say, Everything I have, I bring in service. You're in the right place. There is I don't know where I should talk about it. No, I will keep it to myself. Your service, your surrender to serve, your willingness of her to come and say, I have served and I continue to serve. Joy is the heart of God because it's an act of faith. I have served you and I continue to serve. I don't quit. I am in Christ Jesus. And from that position of authority, I am moving today to declare you are Lord, you are sovereign, you are supreme, you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and to you I surrender my life in obedience. If you ask it of me, I will do it because I have the capacity by grace to do it. I will not fight in resistance to your will, but I surrender my will to yours and say, let it be unto me according to your word. Praise the Lord. Amen. With that, I'll conclude by just declaring the 23rd verse of this chapter. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye do what? Serve the Lord Christ. You're rewarded because you serve him. You can have gifts and not serve. But you cannot serve and not end up with gifts. And God is looking at your heart of service. Whatever it is that you're doing, do it joyfully, heartily. I get to do this. I get to do this. I get to do this. I get to serve God like this. That is living life to the full, seeking those things which are above, and not just focus on earthly things that draw you away from God. Anything that's drawing you away from God is not of God. Rise with me. Lord, arise and shine upon our lives. It is our good pleasure to serve you. We ask, O God, for that anointing to rest upon our lives this day, even that anointing that not only destroys yokes and removes burdens, but bring us to the place where we take on your yoke, knowing that it is easy and it's light. Father, help us to be in full alignment with your will and your word. Our pursuit is not for the things of this world. You said to us in your word as a covenant-keeping God that we need not concern ourselves about the natural things of this world, what we're going to eat or drink or where we're going to stay, what we're going to drive, whatever else. That you know about it. So, Lord, we do as you said. We look unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith. And we know that you said in your word that you will add whatever it is that we need to us. So we relax and we'll rest. Because if you are able to minister to the needs of a prophet, even with a raven that is self-centered and selfish, then we are certain that you take care of us. If you, God, are able to say to Peter, go to the river and cast your hook, catch a fish, open the mouth of the fish, you'll find gold coins in there and take care of the taxes. Then, Lord, oh God, you'll use any creature to provide what we need. So, Father, here we are, trusting you for everything that has to do with the natural, knowing that provision is coming from above, and we need not concern ourselves about those minor details as we pursue after you wholeheartedly, so that we can touch the lives of men and women all around the globe by living an exemplary life, a life that honors you. Thank you, Father, that it is so done, and your name is glorified, and we are greatly benefited by your loving kindness and tender mercies. Blessed be your holy name forever, Father. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God for his faithfulness, and thank God that you made it this evening to the house of God. Is there anyone here today that says, you know, God, I've heard your word. I need to turn my life over to you right now. May have been backslidden in my walk with God, but today I turn the page. I want to say yes to you, Father. So, Pastor, will you pray with me about that? I'll gladly do so. If that's you, just raise your hand. Anybody like that? I see one hand up, I see another. Well, praise God. Then everyone say this with me. Father, I turn my life over to you. Have full reign and authority in my life. This life, henceforth, is truly yours. I live this life as a Christ being. In Jesus' mighty name, my soul is saved. My mind is renewed. My body is restored. Everything about me, henceforth, is about you. Be exalted, O God, as sovereign Lord over my life. I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. All right. Well, this time let us honor God with our giving. I had noticed that the QR code that we have is not working, one that we had on the screen. And if you do need it, if you don't mind, you can. I think they said it's too blurred or something. That's why it's not working. but if you want, we can text it to you. If you give us your number, we can send the original copy to you, and maybe that will work for you. But we want to have everyone engaged in that gathering, not this Friday, but next week Friday. All right? You need to register for it to be there. And it is a free concert. You'll be greatly blessed this dear daughter of God ministers to us. Amen? Praise God. God bless you. That Friday, there will be no prayer meeting. That's that Friday. Everything will be happening at Calvary Temple that night. God bless. Okay? You've honored God with your giving? All right. Okay. Tonight we'll dismiss.